How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
So, Monica, we picked an interesting movie for this episode, didn't we?
We did. It was definitely trippy.
Well, in a dramatic turn of events, I'm not drinking tonight.
Neither am I.
Huh.
Yet.
Well, yeah, it's because I just had dinner about an hour ago, and I don't like to drink when I eat because, I don't know, well, no, I'm kind of weird like that. I either drink or I eat, so since I ate like an hour ago, I'm not going to drink yet, but I might have a couple of beers and around midnight, I don't know, sometime later on tonight, but yeah. So before we get started, though, also let's remind our listeners, Monica, of our social media accounts, shall we?
Yes.
Alright, so we got our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Alright, awesome. And we have our Letterboxd, which is under Myths Behind LGDS. And Letterboxd, in case you're not familiar with that, is a movie blog type of website in which you can network with other movie viewers, you can review movies, you can make lists of stuff that you like, that you don't like, whatever you can think of, you can make it happen there. So, again, we are under Myths Behind LGDS on there. And I just updated that a couple of days ago, so I'm happy about that.
Nice.
Finally, I hadn't touched that page in about maybe a month, actually. Damn. But, dude, that's because I've been busy. Like, and, again, it's not an excuse, but I'm working on my music stuff, and it's just taking, like, whatever spare time I have, I'm working on that, because I want to make sure that it's legit when it drops.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the end of the month, I mean, my friend's still working on the artwork, but once that happens, it's dropping.
Yes!
So I'll make sure to make a commercial to interrupt our segments. Or not to interrupt, but to, like, connect the segments to each other. Like, I play background music or stuff like that in between the segments, so I will make a commercial about my EP. And, well, anyways, we have our TikTok also, which is under Myths Behind Legends. And as we do every week, we are requesting your assistance on TikTok. We are trying to come up with content for that platform. And I guess we're kind of barely figuring it out. We're doing good, I think. I just posted some stuff on there and people are liking it, so, man.
Nice.
And we have our website, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Yes.
And that was also semi-updated lately. I still need to tweak a couple things in there, but it's almost up to date. And we'll definitely need some work as our YouTube account. I have not uploaded an episode to the YouTube page in, like, I don't know how long, but that should probably start happening sometime this weekend.
Nice.
Or if not this weekend, then by the next one, for sure, it should be up to date. I'm going to finally maybe have a couple hours of free time, then I will be able to do that. But, Monica, just real quick, some impressions about the movie, which, by the way, what's the title of the movie?
The title of the movie is Color Out of Space, and it has our favorite psycho unstable actor, Nicolas Cage. Just kidding. But also, I'm being kind of serious. It's a little wild. But yeah, so he did a really good job in this movie, I think. Very good. And then I didn't know what to expect from this week, because I've never seen, like, the trailers or anything like that for it. So it was definitely, like, interesting. I love the colors. That was pretty cool. But I have a lot of questions. So, you know, I guess we'll touch up on that.
Yeah, we'll save those for a little later. But, I mean, just a quick impression of in my perspective, I guess, is I like this movie. It's interesting. I'll reserve my opinions for the following segment. But, yeah, let's just suffice to say that I liked it. It was enjoyable. And It was not really what I was expecting from this.
Yeah, me neither.
Movie, especially with Cage. But yeah, so we'll be right back with our critique segment, in which we will definitely go over the stuff that we got in our minds, and stick around, we'll be right back. All right, everyone, so we are now at our critique segment, in which we go over the cinematic aspects of the movie. So we talk about the plot, the acting, the music, the photography, you know, the way the movie was shot, etc. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to give you the honors, and you can get us started on your impressions on this movie.
Okay. So, I mean, I was expecting, like, a horror movie, and it was, like, a sci-fi thriller. So that was kind of cool. I don't know if it's, like, an alien trying to take over the planet, or, like, you know, an alien being or whatever. But this thing, like, with its beautiful lights, creates chaos and, like, transforms living beings into complete monsters. So that was creepy. The girl, the daughter, Lavinia, or whatever her name was, when I saw her on the horse, I thought this movie was going to be set in, like, an older, like, timeline, and then she's wearing some Victorian-looking shit, and I'm like, okay, she's, like, a witch or something, and then, like, the guy is dressed, like, normal, like a, you know, 21st century dude, and then I'm like, okay, is he, like, trapped in, like, another dimension, like, what, or is this town, like, just very traditional, and, like, they're not up with modern times, and no, she's just, like, weird, you know? She's just, like, this girl that's into the occult or something. She's, like, trying to be a baby witch or whatever. And then, like, as the movie, you know, moves or progresses or whatever, she does some... Because she's trying to cast a curse or a spell or something in the beginning. And then, coincidentally, she goes back for her family after she does that. So... I don't know if that was connected, but then she also has, like, she does some ritual or whatever, and she cuts up her body, and then turns into, like, a conduit for, like, this power from this, like, alien being or whatever, so that was weird. But it's never explained. I don't know where these things came from. I don't know, like, what the purpose was. The whole fusing of the mother and son was, like, creepy as hell. Horrible. The only survivor was a dude, was an outsider. Oh, yeah. Who wasn't even supposed to be there in the first place. And I don't know, man, like, it was really trippy. Like, they never explained exactly what was wrong with the water besides the fact that there was something in there.
I think that is not really connected to the
alien.
I call this thing a being because I got a question for you in a couple minutes, but in the meantime, I wanted to just kind of discuss that water thing. I think the water was just naturally contaminated, which is either from a factory or because I think somebody mentioned that there's like a factory or maybe I just assumed that, but let's just assume that I assumed that there's a factory or some sort of a plant in that town that polluted the water. Mm-hmm. And that is why this guy is doing the water survey in the first place. I don't think it's connected to this being just yet. So he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of. That is what I gathered from it. And as far as the being or the creature, I mean, well, before we talk about that, I agree with you. I think the movie is kind of like a slow burn thriller with a mix of psychological horror and science fiction.
Yeah.
Kind of, because it's not out and out horror. It's kind of mixed between... It's kind of like The Thing. You know that movie from the 80s?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's kind of like this in a way, but except it's not as gory. I mean, there's a couple of scenes where that are gory, but they're not, you know, the main focus of the movie. I think the main focus of the movie happens to be how this being affects the family. Mm-hmm. And how it causes them to unravel, because it affects them all differently.
Yeah.
I mean, they all suffer some sort of effects from it, but they're all different. And, for example, Nicolas Cage, his character, complains about a smell that nobody else perceives.
Oh, yeah. He was the only one affected by that. That was weird, too.
And then the little boy says that he hears voices from the bottom of the well.
Uh-huh.
And then the girl starts getting sick. I think she starts throwing up at some point, like physically ill. And then the other dude, the stoner kid, kind of just gets lost in the forest for a while, and you don't really see too much of him at all. So he was kind of like the outcast in this family, I guess. So they all get different effects from this, and it's interesting. I don't know if it's because of who they are as people or it's because the way this being chose to affect them specifically. That's a question that I have too, but I mean, I don't know, dude. It's a very interesting film. I mean, Nicolas Cage is like a farmer type of person.
Yeah.
He's trying to milk alpacas for a living.
I
Who
know.
does that? And he's trying to grow tomatoes and stuff like that. And as the movie goes on, you see how it all starts going south. I mean, the alpacas start getting like they become like fused with this thing also. The tomatoes are really bitter or something. He spits them out, he
Oh
throws them out,
yeah.
whatever. And then everybody starts getting angry at each other and just kind of lashing out at everybody for any little thing. So when it comes to that, how do you rate or how do you qualify the acting of the cast?
It was like interesting, but it was also very confusing 'cause like they were all doing their own thing kind of, you know, like which it did make things interesting. What was up with the mom? 'Cause he makes a comment, like apparently somebody died in their family. I don't know if she had cancer or like what, but like he says like it smells like death. It smells like 'cause that's what he's been smelling. He smells death. He smells like hospitals, and he says to her, "You should know exactly what that smells like. You know about the whole cancer thing." And then I'm like, "So did she have cancer, or did her dad have cancer, or like what is going on?" There's another scene where she's kind of like. They're like making out or about to make out, and she doesn't feel attractive or something. Like she feels like she's like self-conscious about her body or like her image, and that was also kind of like okay, what was their dynamic? Like what happened that they ended up there and that she had to work basically from home, but she's also like not happy with her life in some sort of way. I don't know.
Well, I think the implication is that she had either breast or uterus cancer, something that affected her psyche as a woman. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, I may be completely off the wall here, but because it's like you say, she's talking about herself and she's not. She's like, what did she say at one point? I feel filthy or I feel what was she said something like unclean or something like and. I can't remember what word she used exactly, but basically implying that she was not good enough for this guy anymore, in a way.
Yeah. And in my head, I thought, did she get like assaulted or something, or raped or something? And maybe that's why she feels that way? Because like it's never really explained. Like it's just kind of
No.
like hinted at, but then that's it.
No, I think, and you know how I complain about stuff not being revealed, but I think in this case, it's done well. Like, this is the kind of thing that I mean. Because infer or they trying to get you to make the inference that something bad happened to this lady, either a disease that affected her body in some way, or like you said, I hadn't even thought about the assault angle for example. So that's I mean in a case like this where it makes the viewer wonder where she might be coming from and how that event affected her life. I mean that's cool because it also affects how she acts throughout the movie. So as far as she goes, I think she's kind of like, I don't know, she's a confusing character, but in a good way. I don't know if confusing is the word that I want to use, but I don't know if complex is maybe the better word for that, a complex character. I mean, they're all really weird.
I know.
Especially Nicolas Cage, and I was actually disappointed, dude. I expected more of a freak out. He's got a couple of moments where he kind of loses his composure and it looks like he's gonna go full Cage, but he doesn't. He holds back.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And I was disappointed in that. I kind of expected. I mean, towards the end, he kind of does at the very last couple of scenes where they're all already dead. Spoiler alert: the entire family dies. And so at the very end, when the water guy comes in and he sees the entire family sitting in the living room, and I guess the ghost of Cage attacks him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think it's him anymore. I think it's his ghost. Or something, or his spirit, or his soul, or something, because he had died outside in the garden. He had been shot.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be
That's
him
true.
anymore, like unless the color revived him or whatever. So I mean, yeah, this is the kind of movie that you need to follow really closely. You can't be on your phone. You can't be like getting up and getting snacks and missing any little minute that you miss in this movie is gonna make you feel lost. Because there's a lot of subtle hints in the background, especially when it comes to the color itself. It starts getting more and more featured in shots. I mean, the girl had purple hair at some point. And then it starts seeping out, and like maybe like in the sunlight or the sunset, whatever, like you kind of see that color seeping in until it becomes the dominant thing in the movie. So I thought it was pretty cool the way it was done. It was like a gradual takeover of this thing. It also mutates life forms around it. It mutates the insects, the animals, and stuff like that. So before I move on to my next point, I wanted to ask you, do you feel like this thing could have been alien or could have been supernatural? Like demonic or.
I don't know. You know what? I think it was alien, but I think that it's something that attacks your neurological system, maybe. It'd be cool if, like, somehow, whatever that thing was, like, able to get a hold of that girl and get her into, like, all this symbolism stuff or whatever. Or because she was already, like, in that state of mind, like, she already was into necromancy or whatever the hell she was working on. This thing, while it was already there, like tapped into her brain or something and made her believe that she needed to do this ritual or whatever, because it was already messing with her head. Like it was like, making that weird like ringing noise that's, that was messing with her. So maybe what she like was looking for something to protect her, but wait, was that idea was interfered by this alien force or whatever, so that she could do something that would allow that being to use her as a like vessel for whatever happened at the end, because everything lit up, like all her cuts, like she had this little symbol on her forehead and like she just like disintegrated into that ray of the electromagnetic energy or whatever that was. That was pretty weird. Like her whole body was like lit up.
It's a cool scene, the way that, I mean, that color is intense.
It was I really loved those colors. I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like little galaxy, fun purple colors.
And
That
actually, we're gonna talk more about colors in the next segment, by the way. So
nice.
we'll keep our thoughts about that for that part of the episode. But I brought up the question about this possibility of the color being supernatural because the girl is doing a some sort of Wiccan
Oh
or
yeah.
witch ritual, and she is able to contain this thing or send. I think what happened at the end, spoiler alert, I mean, my impression is that she was able to make this thing go away with her Wiccan powers.
Oh,
Maybe,
okay.
like, I mean, in a way, some sort of exorcism, if you will.
Got it.
That's what I thought. I mean, and it doesn't make sense because you see this thing falling from the sky, so you're assuming it's alien. But then, how else do you explain that she was doing all these rituals and she carved all these symbols in her body, like the from the Necronomicon, which is the Book of the Dead, quote unquote, that is used for rituals and I mean, or it's got that reputation. So using symbols and words from this book, she was able to do all these things. And at the end, she kind of becomes possessed in a way by the color because you see her face is completely purple, or her eyes rather. But she still has those symbols in her face also, or in her head, or in her body. And she kind of like lifts her arms, kind of like doing a thing, and she kind of makes the color go away. It disappears, like it lifts from the well, from the earth, and it goes up into space again.
Yeah, that's
So
true.
my impression was that this thing could have been supernatural, or maybe it's a mixture of like supernatural alien horror stuff. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of cool to think about maybe like a little mixture of that because it's not heavily or like it's not confirmed that it's either or. I mean, of course, the movie makes you think that it's alien, and it's easy to fall for that or go with that impression. But at the very end, to me, it was like, wow, like I hadn't thought about maybe this thing could be in some way supernatural. Or it was just an alien entity that was done away with through supernatural means. As opposed to science. I mean, as opposed to having scientists coming in and examining this thing. I mean, you have the water guy.
Yeah, that's true.
But in the end, you have this girl with her Wiccan rituals that kind of made it all go away. That's what I thought. I mean, I may be completely wrong. Maybe she was just like.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, I didn't even think about that because, like, yeah, like she kind of does something for protection. So she's She's actually protecting everybody, I guess, in a sense. Because she sacrificed herself to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, dude. I mean, it's kind of a cool debate to have for anyone
Yeah.
that I mean, because of course, like I said, it's the number one thing that's gonna pop into your mind is, yeah, this thing is alien, dude. It came into a meteor. It came in, to Earth in a meteor. So how can you even imply that it's supernatural? I mean, and I mean, to me, it kind of feels like it could be, in a way. So I don't know. And the next point that I have here is, why does everybody think that the water guy has all the answers to everything?
I know. I don't understand. He's just a water guy. Like, that's it.
I get it, dude. He went to college, but that doesn't mean he knows everything about science.
Right, exactly. I thought it was so funny. Like, I did not expect to see that guy from Cheech and Chong in there. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, Tommy Chong.
He was funny, yes.
That was cat named G-Spot.
Oh, yeah. That was the
That's
best.
hilarious, dude. I love cats and that, just on
Yeah.
point.
That's
But I mean,
awesome.
speaking of him, by the way, his character was kind of weird also, but I mean, he was kind of painted as a druggie, a stoner kind of character. But the scene at the very end when the sheriff and the water guy go into his little shack and he's just kind of sitting there and he's got this recorder playing and the voice sounds all distorted, and dude, I thought that was done really, really well.
I agree.
I mean, I'm not a cinema expert, so I couldn't. I mean, the color looks amazing. I mean, we talked about how that color is just. I could just get lost looking at the color, dude. I would die, like. That color would possess me, like, in a second, honestly.
Same, me too.
So, when they're walking to this guy's shack, and he's just sitting there, and he's got the recording. To me, what really made that scene, and just the movie in general, is the sound design. The sound design is done really well. I watched this movie with headphones. Because I watch it on my computer, not on Netflix or anything. I don't think it's on Netflix, by the way.
No, it's not, I had to get it on Prime.
So I watch it on my computer with headphones, and dude, I could hear everything. Like, really, like all the little subtle, like orchestral hits and all the little noises and everything. It's a different experience, dude. I recommend, if you can, I mean, maybe not right now, but whenever you get a chance to watch this movie again, watch it with headphones. Don't watch it through TV speakers. Because it's gonna give you a completely different experience. I had seen this movie before. When it came out, but it's been like about a year or two maybe. But I had seen it with my TV back then. I don't know how I saw it back then, but I mean, I think I rented or I don't know, something. But this time I watched it with headphones, and I was like, wow, I don't remember any of those sound effects. It kind of just hits you from nowhere because it's real subtle and it's really mixed really well in the sound design and everything. So that voice when he's talking about the color in his own little way. He's saying how it came from space and it's like it's infecting the planet, so that speech is like on point, dude. Like, and not just the speech, but the way that it was distorted, like the voice was distorted. Like, I don't know, it was, I don't know. You can tell that I'm a nerd for music and sound. So, but yeah, dude. I mean, going back to the scientist, dude. Like, I mean, he knows water. But why would that mean he knows about radiation or rocks or the fusing of the animals? Because at some point, he goes to the town hall to talk to the mayor about how he found something else in the water, not just whatever they were looking for. Because this goes back to the fact that I think he was already there to study the water for a different reason altogether. So he finds something different than what he was asked to find. And he goes to the mayor, and the mayor, you can hear her in the background again because I have headphones, I could hear everything. And she's talking to somebody like, I don't care what this guy is saying, we signed all the contracts and the projects are gonna go through, and I don't care if you find anything in the water, blah blah blah, whatever. So he walks out of the city hall and he comes across this dude in a truck and says, hey, come watch this, what is this? And it's like a ball of fur in the back of this dude's truck. And he's like, yeah, I think we got birds and cats and dogs in there. I don't know. The farmer guy is just like,
It's like a
looks like
jumble of things,
there's a part of a chicken there. I don't know. So what made this happen? And the guy's like, he's like, this looks like radiation burns, but I don't know. Like, I mean, So, I don't know, dude. To me, it's like this is like one guy that went to school, so let's ask him about everything.
I know, yeah. It's like, dude, he's there to examine the water, not like, the entire place. Like, come on.
Yeah, dude,
Yeah.
it's. I don't know. So, do you have any other points you might want to touch upon? Any other comments or any other scenes that caught your.
My attention.
Yeah.
The little lizard. So there was a scene where they were focusing in on the well, and there was like a lizard, right? Like, and it had bright colors on it, so I assumed it's a venomous lizard or poisonous or whatever. And I was like, dude, like that's my thought was like, oh, I think things are gonna start coming out of the well that are animals that are poisonous, and like that's why people are getting sick. Like, it's probably, or that thing's gonna fall in there, and then they're all gonna get poisoned. But then that's just it. Like, all they show is the lizard. Nothing happens with the lizard. It's just there on the f***ing well, and I'm like, okay, like, what was the point of that, And I mean, I thought it was really cool though, like the way whenever to establish that there's something in the water, like that alien thing. There's like all these little flowers growing, and then eventually everything turns pink, but nobody ever mentions it. Nobody ever goes like, why is our yard purple and pink? Like, what is going on with the grass? Like, why is like everything this weird color that we've never seen before? And why are there flowers everywhere? Which was another thing, like nothing ever happened with the flowers.
No.
They were just there. And then what happened to that thing that was like attacking people, like that attacked that cop guy? Like, because this guy didn't shoot it, he just kind of ran away from it, and then we never saw it again.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, so like, is he gonna keep going after him? Like, is he gonna attack? Like, is he gonna attack the family? Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that the whole movie was a trip, like, and it was really good. But yeah, I mean, those are the things that kind of just I was just kind of like, what is going on? I was just kind of like confused a lot of the time, but also highly entertained.
I think again, this is the kind of movie that you need to be watching like 100%.
Intently, yeah,
You can't become distracted because you're gonna miss something that's gonna, I was kind of paying attention to everything as best as I could, and
Yeah.
I still feel like I could watch this movie again and catch new things.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe that was the intention. That was like kind of like throw as much as they could at you at once, and then but it's not done in a bad way. It's done in a
Yeah.
very subtle way. So I feel like this is the kind of movie that you need to watch multiple times to catch everything
Yeah.
and then some, because again it mixes like the Wiccan stuff with the alien stuff, and they talk about radiation and the water pollution and everything. So but none of these things are like pushed to the front in a way that it does. It's not an environmental movie, for example.
Yeah, no.
It's part of the plot, but it's not the main thing. And just me personally, the scene that really traumatized me is when they bring the mother-son hybrid to the cellar, whatever, to the attic.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
And this creature, because it's not human anymore, the creature is like screaming and making all these weird noises. And again, headphones.
Oh
Watch this
yeah.
movie with headphones, because those scenes where this thing is like writhing in pain and just screaming, and nobody can understand what they're trying to say. When you watch it with headphones, dude, I cannot stress it enough. It's a different experience. Like, it's just like touches you on a different level. I wasn't drunk this time, by the way. I mean, I had a couple of beers, but I wasn't like heavily alcoholized or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, for sure. I mean, that would be my recommendation. If you're gonna watch this movie anywhere out there in the audience, catch it with headphones, because it's different. It hits you on a different level. And of course, like you mentioned, the flowers. I think Nick Cage does mention the flowers once, but in passing. Like,
Yeah.
he's like, "Hey, did you plant those flowers?" And the wife's like,
Oh
"No,
yeah.
no, I think
Yeah.
they were just there." And that was
Yeah,
it. That was it.
That's it.
They didn't say anything else. But I think that was the, I guess there I call this genius in the movie, that it's all very subtle, dude. It starts with like a couple of flowers, and then like you said, eventually the entire garden or lawn is covered with these things. So it's a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. It kind of
Yeah.
little by little starts taking over. And I think if I'm gonna get into my pretentious hat here, that kind of symbolizes, you know, like the how the family starts going downhill little by little. So the more this color that there is in their property, the more unhinged they become. So I don't know, dude. I mean, honestly, I recommend this movie a lot if you want to see it. I mean, it's awesome. If you like science fiction movies, don't expect too much action, because there's not too much action. There aren't a lot of high energy sequences or anything. But I mean, again, my main complaint would be that I was expecting a full on Cage Rage blowout, and we didn't get that, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
So, you got any other final comments before we move on to our academic segment, my friend?
No, sir.
What would be your rating for this movie? And this time, our units are how many magenta mutated life forms?
Nice.
So, how many out of 10, my friend?
Gonna go with the 9.
9? That is awesome. I'm gonna go with an 8. With an 8. So that would be an average of 8.5 magenta mutated life forms in our score system for today. And just real quick before we move on, actually, at the very, very end, the guy is standing on top of a dam or a reservoir. And I'm assuming that was the original intent. The city was gonna build this no matter what. So I guess they used the death of the family to, oh, I guess the property is now ours, you know.
Damn.
So, and that's why the guy is like kind of just hanging out, like all melancholic, like, you know, and he has like a little monologue also. Because the dialogue in this movie is also very, very deep. It may not feel that way at first, but it's a very deep dialogue, and it all connects to the events in the movie in a very smart way. And I like this movie a lot, dude. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, but certainly is mine.
Yes, I like it too.
So, all right, that was our critique segment. And we're gonna take a little break and come right back with the academic segment after these messages. Alright, everybody, so we are now at our infamous academic segment, in which we talk about some sort of connection to real life when it comes to the topic of the movie or the show or whatever it is that we might be talking about. So, what do you think we're gonna talk about in this episode, my friend? Well, I
The
could have talked about aliens, but I figured, well, since the movie's about color. Or you know, that's the thing, you know, color out of space. We're gonna talk about the color wheel. Take us back to elementary and hand paintings.
Yay.
Well, yes and no, because I was reading about this movie like on intellectual websites like Wikipedia, for example.
Nice.
And but from there, I kind of branched out into other websites, and I found out that the color is a specific shade of magenta. So, have you heard that color?
Yes.
And for future, or for just for reference, not future reference, but for current reference, what is an approximate shade of magenta? What kind of color does it look like?
It's like a pink, like a bright pink with a little bit of purple in it.
Kind of like a purplish pink, right? Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah, I would agree with you for sure. So, would you believe me if I told you that this color does not exist?
What? What do you mean it doesn't exist?
It doesn't.
How?
According to science, it doesn't exist.
I've seen it, so
There
how does it
takes you back to the whole thing of I think, therefore I am. So, like, you know,
not exist?
but it's not a real color, dude.
What?
Not in the sense that blue and yellow and green are a real color, because these are all in the visible spectrum. I mean, there are an infinite number of waves floating around us that we don't get to see, for example, X-rays, microwaves, gamma rays, you know, stuff like that. That is outside the limits of our visible spectrum of light. We see colors because that's how our eyes are made to perceive them. So we're gonna get a little philosophical towards the end of this, but before we get to that, basically, the colors. You remember that whole thing, Roy G. Biv, which is like the rainbow kind of thing.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
if you ever learned about that in art class. I mean, it was ages ago for me, but I was. It's so it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the rainbow color wheel thing, whatever, that naturally occurs in the visible spectrum of light, or in the color wheel for that matter. So, since we discussed that this color is not real, then how can we see it, Monica? Guess. How is it that our brain is able to perceive this non-existent color?
I don't know. Light? Something to do with the light?
Well, yeah, you're right about that, but basically, I mean, I don't want to get too technical. So I was confused as I was reading this. And I don't want to confuse the audience. Especially if it's something that I'm not really too familiar with, because, you know, I'm just reading an article here that I found on this page called medium.com, and it's not about mediums, it's not about psychics, you know, it's about science.
Yeah.
From what I read, I mean, I hope. So, basically, we perceive colors in a way that we average out their wavelengths. And what that means is that we're not really sure if any color is real, for that matter. I mean, your eyes perceive them, but how is it that sometimes people are like, that's, I mean, and not taking into account, for example, people that are colorblind, because that's a different thing. But I mean, you can ask somebody, for example, if you and I look at the same thing, and you tell me it's red, and I'll be like, I don't know, dude, it's kind of pink to me, right? I mean, it's red, but I kind of see like a little shade of pink there, maybe a little shade of purple. I mean, I don't know. It's not really red to me. It's kind of in between. And you're like, nah, dude, it's red. It's red. It has to, and so, each of us perceives colors as slightly different based on the way our eyes are built. So, we have rods and cones in our eyes that interpret light that enters our brain or our eyes rather, and then that goes into the brain. Did you know that we live upside down?
We live upside down.
Or this is that
What?
that's my assumption, because I was looking at, dude, it's so trippy to see these things, and it's like, dude, like, are we even real?
Yeah.
or
What?
or is anything the way that we see it? Because the way that light enters our eyes, then our eyes flip it over so we can see it right side up.
Yeah.
So for all we know, everything is upside down, and our eyes, in an effort to keep us sane, are doing us the favor of flipping that image over so we don't lose perspective. I don't know I'm not even sure what I'm saying, to be
I don't
honest.
even know if my brain's processing that.
Okay, so basically, picture like, okay, look at your hand, right? Look at your hand. Your fingers are pointing up, and you know, if you hold it, yeah, exactly like that. But the way that you're looking at that hand, in reality, it would be like your hand is like that, like with the fingers pointing down.
What?
And your eyes flip it over somehow with some
Oh,
sorcery.
yeah, it's like a camera. Like the camera does the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, if initially it's upside down, but you have another little mirror in there or something that flips the picture so that you see it the way that you see
Okay, but
yourself.
how's that even, like, my mind is like, I mean, I knew this
I
when
don't
I was
know.
younger, but.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's like it's a whole trip. Like I don't even know how that works. It's
So
wild.
reality is like nothing that what we actually perceive it to be, or like what is it? Like,
Our whole lives is a lie.
yes, our entire existence is a lie, my friend. Nothing that we see is real. Or it's real, but it doesn't look the way that we see it. I just put it that way.
Because yeah, because there's that other thing about how like the reason why we see that the sky is blue is because our brains can't process its true color or something. Like it fills in the color because technically the sky is not blue.
It isn't.
It's just there. You know, like there's no color to it, but like we see blue because of something. I forgot the reasoning, but it has to do something with like the refraction or something of colors or the light or whatever, and that's the color that fills in.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
I don't know if you ever did that experiment in science class in which you point a light at a prism and then reflect that, or the light goes through it, and then when it comes out, you can see the rainbow, right? I mean, for a better example, think of the cover of Pink Floyd, you know, that album, that famous album. That's a natural thing. If you shoot a beam of light into a prism, it'll refract it in a way that the rainbow will come out. How crazy is that? You're shooting white light into a glass, and out comes a rainbow.
Colors, yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, we don't think anything of it, but like, if you think about it, dude, that's like sorcery. That's
It is, yeah.
witchcraft.
Wow.
Like you're saying, and it's really interesting you're saying this, because I did not send you my notes because last time you said you didn't read them.
Oh, he got butthurt.
So a little bit of salt there on my shoulder. Nah,
Oh,
just kidding, dude.
okay.
Just kidding. No, actually, I completely forgot to send them to you. That's the
Okay,
reason why
cool.
I didn't send them. But I found in this article that it says just what we were saying a couple minutes ago. It says that color, arguably, in a sense, doesn't really exist. It's just our brains and our eyes are designed in a way that they can distinguish specific beams of light in a certain way. So that beam of light creates blue in your eyes or in your mind. A slightly different beam of light would create red or yellow or whatever it is. So it's crazy how our eyes work, dude. Like, I mean, your eyes are making you see reality in a way that makes sense to your brain, basically. Because otherwise, everything would be basically black and white in a way, kind of. If your eyes didn't have those part or those little receptors in them, we'd all be living in a black and white color or black and white world. So,
Damn. That'd be boring. Fuck that.
I know, right? So, I mean, animals, for example, they see differently than we do, but that's because of the way they evolved, that in a way that helps them live in their environment. Because it wouldn't help, for example, a deer or a lion to see the way that we do. Because they live in a different environment, they live in different conditions.
True.
So it wouldn't make.
And they have different purposes,
Yeah. So it wouldn't make sense for any of those creatures to perceive colors the way that we do. How crazy is that? Animal brains and eyes perceive colors differently than we do.
It makes you think, well, why do we have that power? You know, like, why are we meant to see color and are we wasting our talents? Like, huh.
It's witchcraft,
Interesting.
dude. That's my conclusion. It's definitely witchcraft, sorcery. We're all wizards in our own way. I mean, in a way, it's kind of boring. Well, not really, because you know you're able to perceive colors and appreciate the beauty of the world. I mean, for those of us that aren't fortunate to be able to see. But I mean, imagine, dude. Like, imagine if, I mean, nothing that we are looking at looks the way that we see it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
That's great. That's trippy.
that's like thoughts for like 2 a.m. after you had like three or four drinks and you're kind of just sitting in your house or wherever you're at and contemplating your existence in the cosmos. That's what I do, by the way, when I get drunk.
Wow, got it.
So of course I speak for the entirety of humanity because we all do this.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I do, dude. I mean, when I drink, I go into like existential philosophical mode. I don't get all rowdy. I kind of just sit down and mellow, and I start thinking about the questions of the universe. So now that this is in my mind, when I get drunk tonight or whatever, I'm gonna be thinking about this, and I'm gonna be like, no, I can't like fall into this rabbit hole. But essentially, going back to magenta doesn't have a wavelength. It is not a naturally occurring wave of light.
Interesting.
So then how is it that our brain perceives this, my friend? What happens is that your eyes, when you're looking at different colors, it likes to average out the difference of each of them. So for example, if you're looking at a specific color and then you look at a different one, your eyes will perceive, like, have you ever seen that little that after image thing in your eyes?
Yes,
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
There's actually three categories of imaginary or impossible colors. So what you need to do is, there's a little test for this. It's a little collection of circles and squares that you look at for anywhere from 20 to 30 seconds. So they have you look at a circle that's, blue or whatever. And then they show you a different square. And then as soon as your eyes shift from the first color to the second one, you have that little after image or whatever it is, and you see a color that should not exist. So the first category of these, my friend, I don't know if you heard about these. They are called Stygian colors. So more than likely this happens when you look at a bright yellow shape, and then it causes a dark blue after image when they have you look at a black background. So it looks blue, but also black, but still blue. So
Interesting.
it kind of shifts between blue and black. And that's crazy, dude. I mean, I can send you an email or a link of this, because I was doing it and it's like, dude, it happened. Like, I saw this color that should not exist. But it's only because your eyes get tired. That's at least a scientific explanation that I found, is that your eyes get tired and it kind of just creates something to fill in space while it adjusts in the meantime. Be
Interesting.
because it can't process the difference of the two waves of light, whatever. So what it does is it creates a placeholder
Yeah.
in your eyes until it goes back into focus or whatever you want to call it, and it lets you see the second color for what it is.
Okay.
So it's crazy, dude. And then the second category will be the what they call self-luminous colors. So they call them this because they appear to be kind of like flashing at you in a way.
Okay.
So you look at a green shape, circle or square, whatever it is they have you look at, and after a few seconds, like 20, 30 seconds, they have you look at a white background. What happens in your eyes, because of that difference in color, you're gonna start seeing a red after image
Yeah.
on the white background. And that is called a self-luminous color. This is like the most common. I mean, there's other combinations, but these are the most common ones, I think. So the last one is called hyperbolic colors. So in this one, they have you look at a cyan shape. And cyan is kind of like a blue color, right?
Yeah.
And then they have you look at an orange shape. So guess what color the shape looks in the orange shape. So from cyan, which you look at for about 20, 30 seconds, they have you go into another shape that's orange. So what color is that after image?
Green, right?
No. It's actually a super oversaturated orange. So it looks more orange than it could possibly be.
What?
So you're
Interesting.
looking at an orange shape and your eyes have a super orange after image. It's like standing out at you, and it's like, dude, like what the hell am I looking at?
Whoa, that's crazy.
So what do you think about this?
It's crazy. Like, I don't know, like, it's very interesting. Like, I know I want to do those, like, tests. I want to see what I see. But, like, I mean, because I've seen, like, especially when you look at the sun for too long, or you're, like, in the sun and you're getting, like, blasted with light, everything after that just is, you see, like, with, like, a red hue or something. Or, like, it's red. Because your eyes are trying to adjust. But it's crazy. It's crazy that our eyes do that, our brain or whatever, like, definitely mind-blowing for sure.
Dude, I mean, it's not related to this, or maybe it is, I don't know, because it's got to do with your eyes. And I forgot what the exact letters or what the letters meaning is, but there's a condition that I learned about in college. It's called CBS, like the TV station, CBS.
Okay.
And what happens in that condition is that your blind spots shift from the edge of your eyes towards closer to the center.
Okay.
So because you have what's essentially a blank space in your point of view, in your field of vision, your brain starts creating all kinds of weird crap, dude, to go along with it. And it's imagine, you're not psychologically impaired. There's nothing wrong with your brain exactly. I mean, you're not schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You're in perfectly good mental health. But this condition affects your eyes and it starts making you look at things that aren't there.
That's
So
crazy.
some patients of this, I mean, and I'm just talking from memory, by the way. But I remember in my class, one of my professors said that patients reported stuff as crazy as I could see a parade in front of in my living room.
What?
Or other people are like, yeah, like I was watching TV and then I started watching, all this, and I saw a plane flying through my house.
That's insane.
So because your eyes can't handle not being able to process data because of a condition in them, your brain starts imagining these things as a placeholder.
To make things make
As a
sense,
placeholder, like it can't handle like a dark spot in the middle of your field of vision, so it starts filling that with whatever information it can shoot out as it's making itself, keep saying whatever. I don't know. I think that actually makes you go insane.
Yeah,
Imagine, dude,
that's
like,
crazy. No.
I mean, you're living your best life, and then all of a sudden you're seeing people that aren't there in your house. Do you think that might explain maybe like the first like supernatural sightings or something?
Maybe that would make
Like some
sense.
person in the 1200s developed this condition and they didn't know what it was, and like, oh my God, a ghost, or like this person's in my house, or like,
Yeah, I see all these things that I can't explain.
I mean, wow, dude. It just makes you
Yeah,
wonder, doesn't
for
it? Like,
real.
how, man, it's just crazy. Science,
Yeah. Yeah.
the human body is amazing, dude. I don't know, like, the more that I find out about stuff, the more, like, philosophical and creeped out that I feel about our own bodies, dude. Like, I don't want to know what my
Yep.
eyes see
Same.
yet.
Me too. Just a
Because whatever we're living,
little much.
whatever we're living in a world like the color out of space where everything's like just weird, like,
And we don't even know.
and we didn't even know.
Yeah,
And as a matter
that's
of fact,
crazy.
we could be, because again, there's all this invisible spectrum of light that we don't see. So those colors may in fact be all around us and we never see them because our brain's like, nah, if we see that, you're gonna go
They can't ca they can't handle it.
crazy. I mean, wow, dude, I don't know, it's just
Yeah. That's a trip for sure.
You got any other final thoughts on this? On the science of colors and the eyes and.
No, it's completely baffling to me how we really don't know a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Next time somebody asks you if you got a superpower, yes, I can see magenta.
Nice. Yes, I will definitely do that.
It's a color that doesn't exist, and I can see it,
Yeah.
so,
I am cool. I'm pretty cool. Not to brag.
Wow, dude, yeah. Well, yeah, so that was our academic segment for today, and the science of impossible colors and how our eyes may or may not work. I mean, this looked like a reputable source, so, I mean, and these are things that I learned in high school and stuff like that, I mean, or
Yeah.
bits and pieces. Like, I remember learning about how the fact that your eyes flip your image upside down, and it's just a trip, dude.
Yeah,
And
for
of
sure.
course, the prism thing, we at some point, I'm assuming we all went through that experiment also. So but I mean, this makes, if you want to find or more sources about this, you can. I mean, you can just go online and find stuff about, and it's everywhere, dude. It's just look for impossible colors on Google, and stuff like this will start popping up.
Nice.
So I mean, if you want to know more out there in the audience, where you want to go, maybe. Google is your friend. Look for impossible colors and you shall be amazed. Like I was. I do. My mind is blown. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, my mind is blown right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Because
I do too.
because now my perception of reality is flawed. What is it? What am I looking at?
Right.
What am I even looking at right now? Like, I can't tell that this phone that I'm holding is black and the cover is blue. Like, what is it? So
True.
that is why I don't do drugs, my friend. Alcohol is enough for me. If
Yep.
I did drugs, I think I'd lose my mind. Not quite, but you know, you get what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Yeah, possible. Yes, I
I
get
think I
you.
would freak myself thoroughly because as it is, I'm telling you, I think about
All this stuff.
weird questions
Yeah.
of the universe, and if I was on, nah, dude, like, I can't. But
Yeah.
what if I reach some sort of like transcendental understanding of the universe?
My brain would
Dude,
explode.
like, I don't know. I don't know. And what if you somehow are able to find out that you live in the Matrix?
Oh no, dude. I hate. I worry about that all the time. I would hate to find that out. That would suck.
mean, I think it's a good thing that we have limits to our abilities as far as perception of reality and stuff like that, because
Yeah.
if we didn't.
Let me live in bliss. Happily, like, please. The ignorance. In the blissful ignorance of life. I'm good.
All right, so with that being said, that was our academic segment for tonight, and we hope you enjoy that. And don't lose your minds, please. Don't be all philosophical. I mean, keep living your life. I mean, life is good for the most part. I mean, well,
Yeah.
that's a point you could argue in a different light, depending on where you're coming from. But
True.
I meant that in the sense that just ignore these things. Just keep on
Yeah.
thinking that blue is blue and the green is green and
We got enough things to worry about as it is, we don't need to add to it,
Yeah.
so.
So, yeah. All right. So, we'll be right back with our Know Thine Enemy segment after these messages. So we are now at our Know Thine Enemy segment, in which we analyze the villain, antagonist, whatever you might want to call it, of our topic. So, in this one, Monica, which or what is the villain?
I mean, well, the alien thing, I'm assuming.
The color out of space, right?
Yes.
So, I guess you could argue that its classification would be under our system developed with wise men from the world, and women too, by the way. So they would fall, or this thing would fall under the alien category because it's some sort of, again, I'm torn whether or not, I mean, this could be a supernatural thing or not. More than likely it's aliens, so we're gonna go with that
Okay.
because it does come in a comet or an asteroid or whatever, or a meteor. So we're gonna go with it being alien, and it's some sort of ethereal being. Even though it's alien, it's made of light.
Yes.
It's not something that's like fleshy. It's made of light, and it's just like slowly takes over stuff with its bolts of lightning. So, let me ask you this: do you think it could be, if not supernatural, maybe from a different dimension?
Yes. That's what I thought at some point, for sure.
Would that make sense to you?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
It's got all this, what I'm assuming is electromagnetic energy. And it seems like something that could be multidimensional, I guess.
I
I don't know
mean,
how to explain it, but that's just what I got to from
thinking
this.
about another topic that's gonna blow your mind, or mine at least. Do you believe that we might live in the multiverse? I mean, just real quick.
Yes, I do.
When you hear people talking about how every decision that anybody makes splits the universe in two or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's assume, for example, you wake up to go to work and you're like, I decided to wear the blue shirt today. But then what if you had decided to wear the red one?
Yeah.
So that would have caused an entirely different universe or whatever dimension. So, I mean, I think that on some level there are other planes of existence that we're not aware of.
Yes, I agree.
So, and this is just me giving my opinion. I mean, I'm not trying to convince anybody to believe in astral planes or anything like that, but I mean, I do
Yeah.
so. And it, you see a vision of the girl Lavinia towards the very end, where you kind of see like a glimpse of where this thing might have come from.
Oh yeah. It's world.
It's really short, maybe like a 20-30 second thing. It's just really short. But it kind of looked like a whole bunch of worms or snakes or.
Weird slithery things, for sure.
And since this was based in the work of H.P. Lovecraft, by the way, we had not mentioned this up to this point.
Oh, nice.
It's based on a story from H.P. Lovecraft. And he was all about tentacle gods and like Cthulhu and beings like that. And they're all like. Basically, his line of thinking was, you know, according to his works, is that if anybody were to see any of these creatures, you would automatically go insane. Because your brain wouldn't be able to comprehend it. So that's what I'm thinking is what's. The idea of that little image of the planet or place where this thing came from. Because the guy kind of like freaks out for a minute, the water guy. When she shows him that vision, he kind of like shoots back in terror, kind of. So, what do you think is the purpose or the goal of this thing? What does it want?
I think to take over the habitat, like the environment. Like what I thought from what I saw that vision was maybe they've done this before and they've taken over all their planets or other dimensions or whatever. And that's what the goal was for this one. Because wherever they were at maybe wasn't habitable anymore, so they had to go to a different place. And then, they started taking over that one, but it didn't go all the way through, so.
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe they're kind of like a parasitic race or type of beings that once they exhaust all, or they take over the entire ecosystem, then they kind of just shoot off into space and find another one. Huh, that's a cool idea. I mean, well, not cool, but you know. Yeah, I guess maybe like their end game is to colonize other planets and just kind of
Take
carry on.
over.
Yeah. So, what are some of the things that this being can do that we see it doing in the movie? As far as what are its powers or abilities or like.
Well, I mean, it can definitely deform people, and any living beings. It also messes with your head. It messes with your sense of your senses. Sense of smell for that, for Nicolas Cage, for sure.
I think so. I mean, that's basically the extent of it. I mean, it can. I don't know if possession is the right word, but it can kind of affect you slowly, your mind, until it kind of assimilates you. Or you let yourself be assimilated by it. Maybe that's what happens. It does affect their minds, and it also affects their sense of space and time.
Oh, yeah, that too, that's right.
Because the stoner kid said that at some point, that, oh, dude, I was just walking in the forest, and before I knew it, it was dark, and I don't know, I was walking in a different direction, I don't know what happened. So it kind of makes you lose your sense of space and time, in a way. And the same thing happened to that girl, because she was, in one scene, she was cutting fruit in the, or whatever it was, in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, time
And then,
stop.
yeah, and then time stopped, and then the next moment, she was in her bedroom listening to music. Or something like that. So, that's trippy, dude, I mean. And then people can hear it like talking to them. So it affects everyone differently, but in the end, it's gonna affect you to the point that you're gonna just let yourself go. And just let it
It is
consume you.
fine.
So what do you think could stop it? Or what stops it in this movie, rather?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I was. What happened is that the girl did something with her protection spell or whatever, kind of absorbed it, I think, and then left. I don't know. It was really weird. Like, I don't know if she hadn't done that, if it would have, if they would have been able to get rid of it. 'Cause like, what other way? It's like literally taking over that entire space. So,
Yeah, I mean, well, in one scene you see Nicolas Cage shooting the alpacas that were all ball of flesh, or,
Oh, well, yeah.
but that's not really gonna stop it. It
No,
just,
it's not. It's still there.
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, it just kills whatever it created, but it's not gonna really stop the source of it, rather.
Exactly.
And then you see the sheriff guy shooting the mom son hybrid thing
Oh, yeah.
after Nick Cage had fed his daughter to it.
I tried.
Or yeah,
Yeah.
tried to, yeah, because she didn't die at that point. But so I guess, you know, bullets only work for whatever it creates for its spawn, maybe, but not for the actual
Yeah.
color, right?
Exactly.
And I guess we can say that, yeah, I mean, the Wiccan ritual helped in a way. And that's what I'm gonna go back to my conclusion in the first segment, that I'm thinking this girl did some sort of Wiccan spell that was able to, in a way, if you will, exorcise this color from Earth.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, thinking about Wiccan, just, I mean, I'm not an expert or anything, but we talked about in a past episode on how it kind of bases its belief system on the powers of the Earth and, like, you know, nature and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So, and you even see it in the beginning when this girl is doing that ritual and she calls for nature and stuff like that to help her out, rid her mom of cancer. I think she said it in the beginning, dude, that her mom had cancer. So, I don't know, dude. Like, what is your opinion of this thing overall? Like,
I mean, it's trippy. Definitely a huge threat. I would not want this in our planet. We would definitely die.
oh yeah.
But it's also like super interesting and mesmerizing, I guess, because of the colors and like just the way that everything, what it creates with its power. Like, it's literally transforming the environment into its own, like what it wants it to be. That's crazy. But yeah.
Remember in the end, after the girl makes it go away, everything looks pink, but then when the cutter leaves, everything looks like an ashy white type of color.
Oh yeah. That was weird.
So even like the whatever the trees and all the dirt, everything looked like an ashy white type of color. Like everything was kind of, I guess, in a way, tainted.
Yeah.
You wanna think about it that way? Like it didn't go back to its natural state. It was just
Yeah.
like an ashy white type of color. Even the guy, like, look what, like, he was covered in ash.
Covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine that poor dude living with that through his whole life? Like,
Dude, I don't even think he knows what the fuck happened. He's just like, was this a dream? Like, what did I just experience? And who's gonna believe him?
nobody.
No one.
Nobody's gonna believe him.
Nobody even went there after when everything was all crazy, so.
No, because what happened is they let the water flood the property and they built that
Oh,
reservoir or
yeah.
that dam. So like they kind of just put on the, you know, swept
Covered it up.
under the carpet. You know, what, nothing happened here. Like,
Yeah. True. Yeah.
I don't think a thorough investigation into this phenomenon was conducted in this movie, like, or in this aftermath, whatever.
Yeah. Damn.
That's kind of
Yeah,
sucky.
and imagine the water got polluted from like all that shit that was there too. Like, that's pretty messed up.
I think at the very end, the dude says, "I don't care how deep the water is, I'm never gonna drink it."
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, he was offered like water repeatedly from anybody that
And he
would,
was like, nah.
yeah, because he already knew something was up.
Yeah, exactly.
And he told everyone, "Don't drink the water."
Yeah.
And of course, they drink the water, and you know they make ice cubes out of it, and Nicolas Cage is mixing it with his liquor,
Yeah.
and it's in there.
It
And
looks iridescent. Yeah.
yeah. So you catch little glimpses of that color in everyday activities and things that you know, like, if you don't pay attention to it, you're gonna miss it. And that's why
Yeah.
in the beginning we said that this kind of movie you need to kind of watch intently, and please watch it with headphones.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough. But I mean, I think that the one thing I would have liked the most, or that I would have liked, is to see more of the planet or the place where this thing came from. In a way, like, not give it a personality and have it talk or anything, but
Just want to know where it came from, what it's
like, yeah, kind of like a couple of scenes as to what happens in that world, or what, you know, what kind of other creatures or beings might exist in that place. You know, I think that would have been cool, maybe. I mean, that's just
Yeah.
my, I mean, that's a minor gripe for me,
Yeah.
because I like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
So, how many skulls on the scare meter do we give the color out of space, my friend?
I'm gonna go with a 7.
7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with an 8 for this one.
Okay.
And that means that it gets an average of 7.5 skulls on their scare meter.
Woo!
Nice. So, any other remarks about the color out of space as a villain?
Nope.
All right, my friends, so that was our Know Thine Enemy segment. Hope you enjoyed that. And we'll be right back with the closing remarks.
Oh no. Wah, wah, wah.
Alright, Monica, the audience, and myself, Lou, sad face once again because we are at the ending of our episode, my friend.
Boo.
I know. So, my sentiments exactly. So, we want to thank everyone that took time to listen to our episode. If you are a first-time listener, thank you very much. We hope you enjoy that and that you come back for more. We have a list of about 55 episodes so far, 54 maybe. I don't know. Kind of list, oh, this is 55, by the way.
Damn.
So, yeah, I know. Oh, and by the way. It's the 1 year anniversary of the
Oh my God, happy anniversary.
podcast, my friend. Technically, it was the anniversary last week,
Okay.
but episode one doesn't count. We know that. So episode two came out in around August 11th of last year.
Wow.
So it's been a year since you and I have been working on this podcast,
Damn, that's crazy.
my friend. And at some point I know we had the plan to remake episode one. We should do that sometime in the near future.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I mean, we have other stuff we're working on. So, yeah. If you are a repeat listener, thank you very much for coming back every week. And we thank you for being part of the EMBL squad. We hope you come back every week in perpetuity. So, yeah. You got any shout outs for the audience, Monica? Of course. that's okay, my friend. So, I want to thank a couple of people. We have them on Twitter. And the first one would be the hosts of the podcast titled No More Late Fees because they're always giving us words of encouragement. We are part of a group, as you may know, my friend, called the Illumi Potty on Twitter.
Yes.
And we got a chat on there and we kind of talk about stuff like that, and when somebody's kind of like got some grievances to air as to how their podcast might be not doing that well for a specific period of time, I mean, it's seasonal. I mean, sometimes our episodes do fairly well, sometimes they kind of dip, and that's, I mean, that's expected. I think I've come to learn that, by the way. I guess it happens to everybody. So when people are like, "Oh man, you know, we haven't had that many people listen to us in the past couple of weeks, whatever," so we all kind of talk to each other there and kind of prop each other up, and the hosts of No More Late Fees podcasts have always been there for us. I mean, thank you very much for those words of encouragement. They're always giving us ideas and stuff like that. So, and I've tried some of the things that they suggested, and one of them, by the way, being the Twitter surveys for the episodes that we're gonna be doing from now on, apparently. And it's kind of getting a nice response from the audience.
Awesome.
So our Twitter followers, we asked them the following question. The episode will be about Color Out of Space, in which Nick Cage fights a fearsome foe. So, in the battle of unspeakable cosmic horror versus alien parasite, and you get to decide which is which. I mean, is Nicolas Cage an unspeakable cosmic horror, or is he an alien parasite? I mean, it's up to you. So, which one is the most terrifying? Now, who do you or what do you think won the survey?
The parasite thing?
You'd be surprised that 75% of the votes went to Nick Cage, my friend.
Wow.
According to 75% of the voters in the survey, Nicolas Cage is more terrifying than the creature that would
Wow.
assimilate you and like make you do weird stuff. And like,
That's
I don't blame him. I
funny.
mean, this guy's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't. He is a little wacky.
Dude, his little scenes in Ghost Rider are gold.
Yeah.
Especially the second part. Part two of Ghost Rider, dude, we gotta, if you need a laugh, watch that. And oh my god, it's just...
Yeah.
So yeah, we want to thank everybody that voted in the survey. And by the way, this was one of the ideas that they gave us, No More Late Fees podcast. You know, try to engage your audience with surveys, and it's been working out okay, dude. I mean, we're getting a nice response, and that's cool. I mean, it's awesome.
Nice.
So thank you for that suggestion, and we hope that any other ones that you give us are equally as fun, you know. And we also want to thank the Superhero Think podcast, because we now have a unofficial, official slash kind of merch store. We have shirts
Nice.
and drinkware available for you guys, and I'm still working on the, I mean, I have some designs there. The pricing is still a little, I'm looking at it, so I'm probably gonna change the prices that we have in there right now, because they give you a suggestion on the price in this place, and I don't have the URL at hand right now, so I'll give that in the next episode. But going by that suggestion, I kind of went lower than they, because the prices they were suggesting were kind of eh.
Yeah.
So I might even look into there and even lowering those even further. So
Okay.
don't buy anything yet. And if you did, don't worry. Just let us know. And I don't think anybody did, but in case you did out there anywhere, let us know, and we will send you some goodies in the mail, some stickers and postcards and stuff like that to make up for the difference. How's that?
Nice.
In the
Sounds
meantime,
like a good
but
idea.
but yes, actually, I ordered some samples, so we should be getting those shirts soon, Monica.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, and I'm probably gonna order more, just that right now I'm a little overspent because I've been making it rain for my birthday.
Yeah.
I bought myself a few things that I could afford, but now I need to like not eat for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So yeah, so I mean, yeah, I'll be ordering more stuff, maybe towards, if not the end of the month, then maybe sometime next month. And it's cool because you get a quote unquote store manager discount, so.
Oh, sweet. Nice.
Nice. There's a perk for that. But yeah, let's go ahead and remind our listeners, Monica, of our social media accounts. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Right, and we got a Letterboxd, which is under Myths Behind LGDS, and Letterboxd is a movie type blog in which you can review movies. Make lists of movies that you like, that you don't like, etc. So make sure to follow us under either under our TikTok, which is under Myths Behind Legends, and I'm trying to, you know, come up with ideas for content, and I posted a couple of wacky videos past couple days, so I mean, just kind of get in there, and if you got any suggestions, do let us know. You got our email, you got our DMs and our social media accounts. Slide into our DMs and give us some suggestions, please. And we have our infamous website, which is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com. I like that little hands on your chin type of thing you're
Oh,
doing.
yeah.
Yeah. All right, Monica, so having said all that, what is the hint for our topic for the next episode?
Well, it takes place in a high school, kind of. Yeah.
All right, that could be like a billion movies out there,
Oh, yeah.
but that's good enough for now. I mean, I've been revealing the topic on Twitter
Okay.
sometime, but I mean, it's cool kind of just to
Yeah.
throw a little hint, and it's similar to this in a way. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
Kind of
Yes.
similar in a way.
Yeah.
So, all right, my friend, any other comments or ideas you might have about the color out of space or the impossible science of imaginary colors or
No, just you know, let's just hope that doesn't happen here, 'cause I'm not ready for that shit, so.
like, you know, full disclaimer, I or disclosure, I would be immediately assimilated by this because that color is awesome, dude.
Yes, I know it. I would die. I'd be one of the first
I
people to
want to
die
get
for
a light in that color for my room.
Yes, that'd be cool.
Yes. All right. That was our episode for this week. Thank you very much. We want to wish you a great morning, evening, madrugada, stay away from bright lights on the road out there, especially if they look purplish or magenta. Don't go towards the light. Don't go towards the light. So yeah, until we see you, have a great morning, evening, whatever. I just said that, but I repeated it because and be good to everybody, to yourself, and have a good one.
Bye.